5 years ago, if you'd asked me whether you should build your audience before you launch an online course, I'd have said yes, absolutely. But in the last few years, I've really changed my mind on this, and in this episode, I'm going to get into why. I'm Janet Murray. I'm a business strategist, copywriter, and online course creator. And over the last decade, I've generated hundreds of thousands of pounds in sales of digital products, including online courses, ebooks, memberships, planners and journals, templates, you name it, I've probably sold it online. I've also helped hundreds of clients create and launch online courses, and I also use my strategic copywriting skills to write courses for other people and other copy, including launch campaigns. I created this podcast to help you navigate the overwhelm around online course creation and sales because I have learned a lot of things the hard way. And this first season is really all about sharing things that I would do completely differently if I was starting my online course creation journey again, based on all the things that I've learned in the last decade. And it's really with the aim of helping you avoid some of the mistakes that I made and hopefully to be able to generate passive income more quickly and to avoid wasting time and money and on things that are not going to get you the results that you need. So first off, I want to start by saying that I don't feel bad about changing my mind or changing my advice on this because any one of us, we can only give advice based on our current knowledge and experience and based on evidence. And we can only work with the information we have to hand at a particular time and the evidence we have right in front of us. And I think as I share my thoughts on this topic, I think you'll start to see what I mean. So what's changed for me is that over the last 5 years in particular, I've just seen so many people struggling to build audiences online. So investing time, money, resources, sometimes money and time that they don't actually have to build an audience. So creating email lead magnets, investing in Facebook ads, or trying to get Facebook groups off the ground, starting podcasts, YouTube channels, or wondering about that, posting on social media and getting frustrated because they're not growing as quickly as they could do because these things take time. One of my favorite YouTubers, Ali Abdul, or certainly somebody that I think gives very good advice on this, says, look, if you're going to start a YouTube channel, 2 years, like don't expect to get anything out of it for 2 years. You've got to put in the time first. But if you're looking to capitalize on your knowledge and experience, and like many of us, you've got things sitting on your computer, you've got resources perhaps that you already use with your existing clients, you've got knowledge that people are already paying you for in a sort of consultancy or coaching capacity, you know, I'm guessing you don't want to wait a couple of years and to go through all of that because, you know, unless you've worked in marketing before, and even if you have, you know, there's a lot to it and there's a lot of new things to learn. And for me, I just started to find it really soul destroying because all I could see around me was people like madly investing money and time and often over-investing. So investing in tech or resources or expensive overpriced programs they didn't need that were just telling them exactly the same things as the podcast that they just listened to or the lower priced program that they invested in last year or whatever, thinking there was going to be some kind of magic answer. But actually, the answer, as with many things, is just about putting in the hours and time. It just takes time to build a community. You can't just rock up online and expect people to pay you money for an online course without building a relationship. It's like walking into a networking group in person and just walking up to people and say, hey, pay me money. I'm really good at what I do. You know, you have to take that time to build those connections, to build trust, to nurture, to let people get to know you and what you're all about. And that's just as true online. So it does take time. So I was watching all of this go on and seeing people struggle with all of this, and often they'd be fitting it around like other paid work that was really important. So they might be working as a coach or consultant or offering services to corporates, and they were trying to do this as a kind of side hustle, evenings, weekends, or maybe they were banking on this to be their get out of jail cards, like to get them out of their corporate job. It was just soul destroying to watch because they were often investing more time and often more money than they were getting back and delaying the very thing they wanted, which was this kind of passive income from, you know, that make it once, sell it multiple times kind of digital product. Also, something I covered in a previous episode, I was just becoming increasingly aware of how few people actually finish online courses. and how people were just like investing so many hours and years sometimes in creating these like masterpieces and sitting there recording video tutorials and talking about when they were going to be launching this multi-module online course, but with no research, no client feedback. I talked in the last episode, I think, about being entrepreneurial isn't about just going out and launching things without doing your research or getting any customer feedback. But people were just creating these like massive, big, like masterpieces of these online courses without really knowing if anyone would want to buy them. So this got me into recommending my own clients to create much shorter pieces of content. So I often think about them as almost like one module online courses. So when you take a very small problem that somebody wants to solve, but a very desirable problem. An example I often think about is I saw a really good example a few years ago where somebody was selling a course on how to apply and successfully get a trademark. Now, you can go online and you can get all that information, but it can be a bit confusing and a bit overwhelming if you haven't done it before. And as has happened to me, if your trademark application gets turned down, it can waste you a load of money because then you have to go back and do it again. So actually investing in a really short but to the point training that tells you everything you need to know and guides you through and gives you all the templates that you need, you know, what to write here and there, whatever, it could be really, really valuable and could save you a lot of time in the long run. So if, for example, I don't know, you're a legal expert and you specialize in intellectual property, and you know, I know intellectual property is quite a big area, but let's say that that was, you know, a very common question you get asked, you know, that would be the kind of course that I would start with. I'd do that process that I've described already so many times in this podcast. So just do a one-off webinar or a one-off masterclass, promote it to the people that are already in your world, current clients, existing clients. You might have to be quite high touch if you don't have an email list, or you only have a small email list, that's okay, because you're reaching out to people who genuinely are going to be interested and need this because they already, you know, they're already in your world and may have already bought similar services from you or be able to recommend people. And not only are you getting customer feedback like directly and not wasting time, you know, if you put something out there and it doesn't land or people are not interested in signing up, you're going to know pretty soon and not have wasted ages on it, but you can also start to generate income like straight away. So I gave an example, I think, in the last episode where I was talking about, you know, even if you were making very modest sales of a £37 product, and between now and this episode is due to go out in April 2024, at the end of the year, you sold 100 by the end of the year, that's still multiple thousands. And it's still a lot more than if you're sitting in your spare room recording video tutorials and fleshing out this big multi-module spectacular online course that you're not even sure if anybody's going to be interested in. So that was another thing. Something else that really started to occur to me working with clients is that there's many different ways that you can sell online courses. But I think the way the industry has been in the last decade or so, or certainly in the sort of B2C part of it, is this idea that the only way to sell an online course is to create a course and almost sell it unit by unit, to do launches, maybe collaborate with other influencers or whatever. But really what you're still doing is you're having to sell each one unit by unit. So for example, I've worked with clients who have sold multiple licenses, and we're talking tens, hundreds, even thousands, to corporate companies to have access to their training for X amount of months or years or whatever, far, far more lucrative. And in fact, I've got a client that I've just written a course for who doesn't exactly work corporate, but the kind of clients that she works with, they typically would be investing around 2,000 to 3,000 to send people on a regular program that she runs. What she's really looking for is when somebody comes and says, look, we'd really like to send one or more of our people onto your program. We think it sounds great, but we don't have the budget at the moment. What she's really interested in is having a digital alternative almost. So what she could do, for example, if someone says, well, you know, we haven't got the budget to send three people, but we'd really love to, can we come up with something else? Perhaps she could sell licenses to everyone in that company for whom it's relevant, and then top and tail it with an introductory Zoom and a Zoom Q&A once they've completed the course. You know, this gives her lots of options, and it means that she doesn't necessarily have to turn people away who don't have the budget to access her training and support in the way that she usually provides it. Finally, and I think we've probably touched on this already in many different ways, but this is really about earning while you're learning. So it's kind of build as you go and earn as you go. Because if you're creating these sort of shorter pieces, you're getting them out there, you're getting feedback on what people are interested in and what they're not, what's popular, what's not, you are learning such a lot and you are just doing it. You're not procrastinating, you're just doing it. And you're doing that thing that I think most people, it's the biggest barrier really to getting their online course out there, is just putting themselves out there. It's just saying, I've got a course, do you want to buy it? And sometimes we need a bit of a push off the side. And I think this model of just going, right, I'm not going to overthink this. I'm just going to think of a question I get asked a lot, or a problem that a lot of people want me to solve. I'm going to put something really simple together. I'm going to set a date. I'm going to do it live so I can't back out. It's just a really powerful way of getting it done. And you don't need an email list. If you know people who are interested and will value the outcome that you can provide, you can sell it. You might have to be more proactive. You might have to send personal invite emails and follow them up, but you will be able to sell places on it, and you're doing it and you're starting to generate income instead of talking about it. So I hope that's helpful and hopefully inspired you to think that this is something that you can move forward with. It, you know, it doesn't have to be overcomplicated. It can be a lot more simple than you imagine. If you've already got a course, it might inspire you to think about maybe selling parts of it and using that as an opportunity to get feedback and actually make money from it. Maybe people don't want to invest in the whole thing, but there might be certain modules inside your course that would provide a really desirable outcome and people would really want, but they don't want to pay for the whole course. So it might get you thinking about that as well. And in the next episode, I'm going to be talking about how to choose the best email lead magnet to sell an online course. The most common reason people get stuck with online courses, and in some cases never get around to creating one at all, is because they're overwhelmed by the tech and they think they can't launch an online course unless they have a fancy membership site or they invest in other platforms or tools. But the truth is, you don't need any of this to launch an online course. You can work with the tools or resources you've already got, you're already paying for, or you're already using for free. The problem is, there's a whole industry out there that's designed to make you think you need something else and you really, really don't. And that's why I've put together a free download that contains my favorite no or low cost ways to host an online course. It's called 7 low or no cost ways to host an online course, and I've included a link in the show notes. If you're good at remembering links, head over to janetmurray.co.uk/onlinecoursehosting. That's janetmurray.co.uk/onlinecoursehosting. And I've also put a link in the show notes.